So, Bear, you just got back from a pretty eventful tour with Mannequin Pussy.
It's funny. So, on the tour, like, I always do, like, a sound check with my voice, and usually I'm just, like, screaming, check, 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 or one, two. It was, like, maybe, like, 2 days after the robbery and stuff, and it was just, like, the first day of, like, shock hitting me. Like, shock finally dissipating, and then, like, depression rising, where I was just like, this sucks. We were just in this awful room with an old analog board, and our sound guy was like, I'm sorry, this is just going to take longer because I just, this thing is so fucking old. And as he's doing, I'm just like, check, check. And he's like, can you just, like, talk? And I'm like, I'm talking. And then I'm just like, I just start words spewing. I'm like, I hate this, please. Like, you ever been just staring at a void in which you can just fall? And like, the whole time everyone's like laughing. I'm like, this is not funny. This is terrible. Please stop doing this mic check. Can we stop? And he's like, all right, you're good. I'm like, please, thank you. I can't believe our stuff is gone.
Have you had any luck finding anything?
We got the van back, right? Is that not the case?
So they found the trailer. The first thing they found was a trailer, and that was like 2 days after we reported it. And the only thing that was in it was merchandise.
Rude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then just before the tour ended, we got a call saying like they found the van, and like they were like, yeah, they look like they busted out the passenger door, got in, busted out the ignition, put a screwdriver in it, you know, and just took off, changed the plates, and like took out a bunch of seats, which I was like really mad about. I was like, we just got those seats, you know, the ones I called you about. Yeah, I'm like, we need seats. God. And they like took them out, and they were like, yeah, they just joyrided it and just like left it under a bridge. Damn. And it was just like found, and I was just like, sick.
That was in your name, right? The van?
Yeah. Oh, so it sucked. It sucked a lot.
Did you get it back, or is it like
so ripped? It's still in Akron. My boy Joe, who lives like an hour from Akron, he lives in Sharon, PA, which is like not too far from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. He went there. We like had to do like a notary thing so he could like release the van for us. And then it's going to just get fixed in Akron because it was like going to cost us like a shit ton of money just to get a ship to Philly. Mm. You know what I mean?
It doesn't
like
drive.
No, it can drive, but like we'd have to get a plane. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I guess I could just show up with a screwdriver.
It's like rough.
Yeah, my boy, when he was like, he's like, well, what are we going to do? Where's the key? I'm like, the key is not a situation. Like, what are you talking about? How do you think they got in there? The key is not in the equation anymore. Like, yeah. You got a pen, it's fine.
Were you able to get the merch back, like, to recover that?
Merch back. Actually, I think it's Toby from...
Sidekicks, Toby?
Yeah. He got, like, just, like, a whip, packed it up, and then just, like, drove it to Philly for us, which was, like...
Sick.
Truly, yeah, very goat move. At the time, I was just, because someone sent us a picture. I was like, yo, I just found your trailer. It was like, it was crazy. Like, someone hit up Marissa on Twitter. Was like, I'm pretty sure this is your trailer. Do you have the license plate? And we were just like, what? And when he took the picture, it looked like the door was still closed. So we were like, oh, maybe they couldn't get in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was foolish. They totally, like, they were like, yeah, we just took all the good stuff.
Did Guitar Center not accept any of the guitars and stuff?
So Guitar Center... called us up actually a few days ago and was like, yo, someone tried to bring a Big Bertha cab in here, but we don't have the serial number, but they left with it and we didn't get the information. And then like, so we then like sent to the Guitar Center with like all of our gear stuff. And they were like, all right, we can just put it in our base, and like any Guitar Center, if they pop up and they try to sell it, it's going to flag it. But I'm like, I don't know what that'll do per se, because this has been the biggest issue. So the police have been calling us every once in a while being like, hey, we found the guitar at a pawn shop. And I was like, oh my God. And it's like, oh, hey, we found like this quilter head and we found these pedals and stuff. And they're at a couple of pawn shops, and we're like, holy shit, like that's great. And we're like, so what do we do to get it back? And told me like the worst news I ever heard in my entire life, where he was like, so Ohio state law, you have to buy back your stuff. You can't just, exactly. You have to, even though with the police report and everything, only in Ohio, like, you have to pay back what the pawn shops paid to get those items. So like the one pawn shop, it's like $1,000 that we have to give them. I'm like, wait, but you already know it's stolen.
Yeah. like so, who reimburses you?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
so it's actually similar in Pennsylvania.
Is it? I was told that like you can just
different, but yeah. It's a similar thing where you would go pay for that, but they have that person's name and number on file.
You need to give them your identification. in yeah. order to sell things
so
to the pawn shop.
That person who sold it, their information will get released to you and the police.
So
that's like a way that you can go find this person. There was a period of time where a friend of mine stole a bunch of stuff from my friends and I went to the pawn shop. I saw some of those items and I was like, who brought this here? And they're like, we can't tell you that. And I was like, if I guess the name, can I tell you? And they're like, yeah. So they eventually told me, I was like, I guess the name. They were like, that's correct.
Yeah.
And I was like, so how do I get all this stuff back? They're like, you can either right now not press charges on this person and pay us what we paid for it and just take it, or you can pay what we take it and press charges on that person. So like, you can go there, buy it, and press charges on whomever sold it.
Oh man, the system's fucked.
System's like, garbage.
Like, it's stolen. Like, you know it's stolen. I know it's stolen. Here's the proof it's stolen. And
they just can't give you the name of the person who did it until you prove that. Like, if you have your serial numbers, then they can do that. But until you can prove that it's yours,
Well,
it sounds like there's a 2-stage process here. Number one, find a psychic. Bring them in, tell them like, the name of the thieves, and then boom.
Yeah, and that was like the one thing I even asked them. I was like, so you have some of the information, I'm assuming, of these guys. And they were like, yeah, like, we're trying to figure out where they're located. And also, I guess the problem is like the people that they've been using are like homeless people.
Oh, like a proxy. Yeah.
He was like, a lot of the, you know, the addresses that like will come up are like dead addresses, or like, this person has lived here like in years. And it's just like, cool. Like,
it's just never going to be that easy as I made it out to be, you know, like, theoretically that's how it should work.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'm probably going to be like looking and finding stuff. Like, it's sad to say, but a few people who have had similar scenarios are like, it might take you years to find some of these things. Mm-hmm. Like it'll get out there and, or you might never find it. Like, I'm worried that they're going to do the thing I've seen happen at pawn shops where like they give you this pedal and you realize they're like, why did someone spray paint all over this? It's like, oh, that way, like, it doesn't look as valuable as it did before. So they can just sell it for dumb cheap. It's like, why would someone drill holes into this Fender guitar? Oh, like, it doesn't look like the guitar it did before now. And so they can just be like, give me $100. And someone's like, that's my guitar. It's like, it's fucked.
I wonder, Marissa was using, or one of the members of Manny P was using that yellow head.
Yeah, that got stolen.
There's one of them in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's like an identifiable piece of gear. Like, I wonder what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that was the annoying part, because I was like, this stuff is going to pop up, because it's like all of our stuff was like unique. There's probably like a few things that weren't unique. And I think those are the things that we found the quickest, because it was easier for them to sell, I believe. Like, you know, they had a Les Paul, just like a cherry finish Les Paul. It was like, boom, give me $800 for this. And like, here's some pedals that, you know, no name shit. But like that head, like that cab, like, even the other stuff, I like, it's probably going to be so hard, because there's like, there's no name, there's no label.
There's no serial number.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, how do you describe, like, I have this yellow amp.
Has some green knobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Might have seen it.
It's funny, like, the guy who like sold the Les Paul to the pawn shop, like, they realized something was fishy, because he kept being like, this is my baby. And they're like, but you don't seem to know anything about guitars. Like, what do you mean it's your baby? It was like the biggest red flags. It's like, oh, I got this, and like, this is mine. And it's like, whoa. Well,
yeah, overselling.
Asking questions about the guitar. And he's like, oh, I don't know. And it's like, well, how would you not know these simple questions about your baby that you supposedly have? But yeah, well, I'm just hoping we find at least like Kayleen's drum set. Like, that's the, I know.
Also,
like,
pretty identifiable.
Exactly. And like, she worked really hard to get that.
And I'm sure she has the serial numbers. I'm sure she...
Oh, she's got it all.
She's got it all, I'm sure.
And it's another one of the things where it's like, I think there was 50 made in the world.
Yeah.
So it's just like, when it pops up, it's going to be like, that's my shit.
Do you think that they're smart enough to change the front kick head, you know, like, that says your band name on it?
Whoever these people are, whoever did it, I imagine they had to have, like, looked it up. Like, if they have this drum in it, or like, yeah, it says Mannequin Pussy. Like, it's huge letters. It just says Mannequin Pussy. And like,
and that name makes a statement, too. Yeah, that's exactly. Something that if you see, you're like, I'm going to have to Google this.
Yeah, exactly. And I imagine that they had to have seen it and saw that we were like, yo, our shit got stolen. Like, and like, we're just posting all these pictures. So that's why I kind of also feel like it was popping up and then it stopped. So I feel like they probably like know that we're like, we got as many people in Akron and Ohio to be like, if you see anything that looks anything like this stuff, like, please let us know. The amount of people actually, like, even in just in Ohio, like, it almost feels like it happened in Ohio and people in Ohio are like, please don't hate us. Like, I can't believe this happened to y'all. And like, I've had a lot of people from like Akron and the Cleveland area just hit us up being like, yo, I know this guy who works at like these pawn shops or works at like Guitar Center. They're going to try and like, you know, if they see anything, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, yes, please. Like, just let me know. Like, I would love to see any of that stuff come back.
But the truth is that you'll never play in that state ever again.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, but sorry, Ohio. It was fun while it lasted. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The number one flyover
state. That's where we got robbed also.
Really?
The only time we've ever... Well, that's not true.
Was it Ohio?
Kentucky. But
wait, when did we get robbed?
The show, remember? In the fucking helicopters?
Oh, in Columbus. Yeah. Monster House.
Oh, helicopters. Yeah, that was crazy.
Wait, should we start the podcast?
Is it recording?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Well, you're listening to the Super Week Super Weekly Supercast. I'm your host, Evan.
And I'm your host, Doc Chris Bag Levo Bag.
And I'm your host, Pass That Motherfucking Joint, my dude.
And today we have a very special guest.
Passer of the joint, Collins Bear Regis Ford, a.k.a. Bear Smokes a Lot. AKA two blunts. I got a couple of AKs.
Well, you're fully in character. And humble listener, you may know Bear from bands, of course, Mannequin Pussy, as we were talking about in our the tragic story in our intro there, but also his solo project, The City and I, and back where I met Bear with Carolyn, who's now a member of Mannequin Pussy.
She's an auxiliary touring person. Singing and so, yeah.
But they had a band together called Ghost Gum. That's where I first met Bear.
Bear also used to play in a band called Kit.
Right, of course. I knew I was missing something.
Yeah, I try to, you know, try to mix the bag up. It's like a buffet. You put a little bit of something different on your plate.
Yeah, it's like you go to Ruby Buffet down there on Columbus Boulevard. You get pizza, you get some Chinese food. What else do you want? It's buffalo wings, you name it. It's ice cream. There. Ice cream, they got that.
Yeah, they got ice cream.
But anyway, as we were getting to in our intro, Mikey was saying that, yeah, there was one time we've ever been robbed. We played at the Monster House in Columbus, Ohio, and Mikey, take it away.
That's really weird. These people came into the house. It was clear that no one knew them and that it was just odd. Someone just started screaming and was like, the money's gone. Like, no one's ever stolen the money. It was in this cabinet. And then they accused some person. They're like, you watched me put it in here, blah, blah, blah. And they were like walking around the house, like up the steps, which is like, it's just not something you do like at a show house that you're not like, the bathroom wasn't there. Like, it was not like, yeah, it was not cool.
Suspicious. Yeah.
Very suspicious. So they ended up running out of that place and we played the show. We still had a good show, but my younger self fired up. I'm like wanting to punch the world and, you know, I didn't do that. Thank goodness. So then we go to this, my sister's friend, who we were hanging out with there, it was like, come to my house, let's fucking relax. It'll
be
chill.
Party after the show at a second location.
Yeah. And I left the rest of the band and just like went with my sister and Kenzie.
So you and Chrissy and Kenzie went to a second location.
Yes. And these people are sitting in the living room.
The thieves.
Yes. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I like look at them like in disbelief. And I don't know what happened. And I'm just like, what is going on? How are they here even? What the fuck is going on? So we go downstairs somehow and we walk downstairs and we try to like have a nice time and relax. And she's like, let me show you this thing. It's like, let me pull it up on my laptop. And she's like, where's my laptop? And then we're like, yo, the people upstairs just robbed the show we were at. They probably stole your laptop. So we all go upstairs and she's like, fuck it. And like, we get into it with these people and she's like, I'm going to call the cops. She's like, where's my phone? And she's like, what the fuck? She's like, yo, we don't have anything. We don't have anything. And then so her roommate calls her phone. It's in the guy's pocket.
Oh,
and
then, shit.
Yeah, red-handed.
So then they make a run for the door. As they make a run for the door, there's fucking helicopter on the house. And like all these cops pull up. They apprehend the people. We all get into the car. And I'm like, I don't know. I was like, just, I don't know.
Wait, which car did you get into?
The car that we came in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because we also ran out of the house like after them, but like the cops were there, a helicopter was there, and then they were just like, come on, let's go. And like they, you know, they found the laptop and everything, and we just like,
you know,
drove
you stole
away.
The phone and the laptop.
And it was like, a helicopter? That's some next level shit.
Yeah. Like, Jesus.
Presumably petty crime. But the uplifting part of that story, though, that an important detail that Mikey missed was that at the show, they passed the donation bowl around again. Mm. And were like, hey, the money got stolen. None of these bands are going to get paid if people don't donate. Like, please, if you can, donate again. And they wound up the crowd collectively donating even more money than was initially in the bowl.
Damn.
So they really came through for all of the bands. So
damn.
Same thing. Columbus, Ohio, you're still chill. They came through for us. We don't hate Ohio.
Yeah, there's a lot of love for Ohio. I do understand. I will say this. This might be a controversial thing to say, but the system is broken.
So broken.
And because of the system is broken, people succumb to desperate actions. Desperate times calls for desperate actions. I'm very mad that they stole our stuff. I'm also mad at the system that makes them feel like they have to do that. Because it's like, it was not lost on us. All right, so, you know, you're in a pandemic, you know, like during, I think just before the pandemic, like, you know, I feel like in Philly, like they, if I'm not mistaken, there was something along the lines where they like petty crime kind of was just like pushed to the side because the cops were just with like
they
COVID.
They robbed their house. The night they announced that.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. So that's what I mean. Like that happened. And then like, I think a few people got their van stolen. We were one of those people. Oh, like our van got stolen during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And like, it was just like, oh, and at the time it wasn't even as bad because like, you know, it wasn't a situation of like, all right, we need to like GoFundMe or figure this out. It was like, they stole the van. Holy crap. And then 2 days later, they just like dumped it somewhere in Philly. And then it was just like, all right, I guess it's just got to go get fixed and still drivable. But
wait, did you have to get a new starter and key? Like,
this will be the second time we have to do this.
God.
The first time they went through the back of the van to get in, they busted out and then like took out the ignition. This time they went through the passenger side. It's funny. After the van got stolen for the second time, I immediately looked up, how do you steal an E350? And it's like, you just need a drill. I didn't know it was that easy. Don't steal vans. But even if you want to, really, like, that's why like the newer ones that they make now are like keyless. And like the ignition is like still reinforced. So you can't just like pop it out and just be like, all right, let's be out. You know? Damn. Yeah. They literally just go. I watched it on YouTube. It was so easy. I was like, oh, we should have got like a club or something. Like I feel like I did like a million checkpoints of like, all right, we're going to get a hitch lock. All right. We're going to get a ball lock. All right. We're going to get like a chain to wrap around both. And then we're going to get another lock to lock that. And then I'm going to get a master lock for the back. I literally did so many things. And like, we're all like,
I'm going to have a boot on every wheel.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we should be fine. And like, I remember the night before it got stolen. So we're on tour with Angel Dust and I see in Angel Dust's car that they have a club on the wheel. And I was like, man, I haven't seen those since like the 90s. Like that's like such a old thing because I was just like, you know, carjacking was just so much easier back then.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are also easily subverted in most cars too, where you can cut the steering wheel
and then
bend the wheel and just pop them off.
Yeah. You know? And it's just like,
don't do that, listener.
Yeah. 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 we're like, there's ways to protect it. And there's also ways to stop it. Stop the protection. Yeah. It's just,
we can call this episode plausible deniability.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing I've learned just growing up, because like I used to live in Bed-Stuy back in the 90s when shit was way more rough than it is now. It's like way, it was like a froyo probably where I used to live. But like the one thing I always remembered and I learned very early on is that if people want something, you have no idea how far the motivation desperation can reach. Oh, yeah. Like when they're desperate enough, if they want it, they will take it. You know, that's what, even on this tour, when I was getting all these trailer things, like lock the trailer, because I was like, oh, our stuff's in here. There was a point where they were like, all right, so we should be good, right? I'm like, well, they could take the whole thing. That's like, I would like, you know, but I'm like, yeah, that's the only thing that could happen. But like, I don't think that'll happen. I think we should be good. And I was right. Like, that's all they did. They were like, oh, man,
dude,
we're just going to have to take the whole thing. It's just gnarly.
Yep.
Well, let's not let that frame the entire experience of being back, right? What was touring after the pandemic like? How's it feel to be back?
So I will say that was, it's interesting. So we were actually technically one of, so when we went out in end of August, I believe. I'm trying to think about this. So it was around the end of August. We went out with Japanese Breakfast and it was just us. And I think it was like just months before when like everything was still kind of shut down. I remember like Japanese Breakfast like announced this tour. And I was like, I remember thinking then, I'm like, these guys are crazy. Like, you're going to go on tour? Like, who's going on tour? Really? You guys are going to try and go on tour? Like, I don't know. And then little do I know, like a month later, someone's like, do you guys want to go on this tour? And I'm like, sure. I would love to go on tour. Like, I would not say no. But at the time, it was like scary because it's like, will this happen? Like, and most importantly, I was like, I cannot take another disappointment. Like, I was on tour when the pandemic hit and we had to go home. So I don't want to go on tour or get canceled before even a tour, like getting hyped before a tour. And then just like I literally didn't even pack or buy anything until like the day before we were about to leave. Like I completely just was denying that we were even going to go on the road.
You're like, oh shit, this is real. Yeah, okay, yeah, here we
like,
go.
Yeah. Like
that's every tour I've ever been on. Yeah. Literally.
Like pandemic what? You mean like, just
two pairs of underwear and like a sock? And I'm like, $6, let's go.
Yeah, I'm like calling my guy. I'm like, hey, I need a bag. So like going into it, I was like completely like, I don't even know if this is gonna happen. I don't know what to believe. And then there we are in the van heading to Silver Springs, Maryland. And like I remember just like I'm literally like putting on my stuff, like my shirt to just get on stage. And Marissa's like, you ready? And I'm like, I have like a panic attack. I'm just like, wait, what's going on? Like, wait, are we like here right now? Like, we couldn't see the crowd because there was like a curtain. So I couldn't even see anyone. So I'm just like, there's just like a lot of feeling of like, what's going to happen? Like, are they going to be wearing masks? Is it going to be cool? Are people going to get hyped? Or are they going to be like, you know what I mean? It was just like, so like, I just have no idea what to expect. But then we went out there, they opened up the curtain, the people were there. Half of them weren't wearing masks. It was
shit.
Yeah. Like there were the people in front were wearing masks, but then like a good portion of them were just not wearing masks. And I remember just like, okay, this is a vax only show. So I guess it should be all right. I don't know. As soon as we started playing, it was just like riding a bicycle. I was just like, oh wait, I miss this. Like, this is what I've been trying to do my whole life. And like, all right, we're back. We're going to do this. And it was amazing. It was like, I got so excited. I sharted on stage. Yeah. Just a little info. I won't explain too much, but that's it. You know,
I got props to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Let's be, but that was day one of tour. I don't think there was any Taco Bell at that point.
There was, yeah, we were still eating fine.
Evan, don't ruin our native advertising with Taco Bell.
Taco Bell, when are we going to get Feed the Beat? What the fuck? Also, give it to Manny P. What the fuck, Taco Bell?
We recently just got fed the beat. I will say, I'm sorry. I wish I would, you know, I'll share the wealth.
So what you're saying is you did have Taco Bell.
No, not yet.
No, Taco Bell cured it. I never sharted again. Thank you, Taco Bell.
I would never shard on Taco Bell. No.
But where's the Domino's?
Where's that?
I'm fucking going to punch.
We ordered Domino's, listener. That's what Mikey's hangry over there.
We'll cut this. Where is it? We can't have all these.
I got a text just now. The delivery is on its way.
I will say that Chris Deem used to order from this Domino's all the time when he was living down at 6th and Dickinson. And John Gall was telling me that it took well over an hour every single time he ordered it. And he would get so pissed and frustrated and then seemingly forget and order it like 3 days later. And like it would go be that same cycle of emotions. But anyway. Back to Silver Springs, Maryland.
Yeah. Sharded on stage. Very excited show. The one thing was like, yeah, just like going back. And it, like, I think it was since it was like this tour was happening. Like, and like I said before, like, you know, just only months before, I was like, I can't even believe that they're trying to go on the road. Mm. Now, cut to, we're on the road with them. And our friend CJ Harvey, I don't know if you know her, but she's taken pictures of us before. And she's like this great photographer. A week before hits us up being like, hey, like Rolling Stones hit me up and they want me to like go with y'all and like take pictures of y'all on the road and stuff. And we were just like, sure, like this is our homie. Rolling Stone wants to pay you to take pictures of us / you just want to hang out in the van with us and we're just going to be zany. By all means, come with. Why not?
Sick.
This is the humble, almost famous beginnings right here.
Yeah, and it's just like, sure, why not? Like, come through. But it didn't hit us until like week two of the tour. Like, it was a 2-week tour, but like halfway during week two, we're talking to just like other people who are just in the industry. And they were just like, yeah, you guys are like one of like three touring parties in America right now. Hmm. And I was like, wait, what are you saying to me right now? Like out of the entire country, like there's no shows going on except for our tour party and like two others are like, yeah. And then like another one's about to start in a couple weeks. And I was just like, so that's why Rolling Stones is here. Cause I thought it was like, this is just like, this is like weird. Like, why are you here? Whatever. Like y'all can come here if you want, but they're like, what's the first bands going out on the road going to be like? And it's like, oh shit. Like we're trailblazing, I guess right now. I just thought we were just coming
just
back
the
to
regular
good.
Blazing. That you're
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. My usual blazing. And like, it was also like a nightmare in different ways because like, there's a lot of places that were still weird about vaccinations and like mask and stuff
like they refused to enforce mandates and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Or just like, they didn't want to like, people would just be like, I don't want to push like the sound guy or both. And it's just like, yo, like tell him, put a mask on. Like, I'm sorry, but like, we're still trying to finish this tour. Like we don't know what's going on. We don't mm-hmm. know what could happen any second. And like, we got a lot just riding on trying to be out here. Like just on mental health by itself. It's like, I just want to finish this. I just don't want to have to go back home in the middle of something like mm-hmm. again, like can't do that to me twice in my lifetime. It's going to be too much.
Well, fortunately, just the van got stolen.
Yeah,
so
yeah. This time around, it's just like, it was chill. It was like, oh, they just took the van.
Yeah, like, that's like your blood sacrifice.
Yeah, exactly.
To have everybody get COVID.
The tour gods, they're weird gods.
They
but,
give it, yeah, they and they take it away.
Oh, I have to say this, and he's going to be upset, but our tour manager, I shouldn't say, actually, I'll start over. We should delete that.
Just say our tour manager.
But our tour manager on this tour, the recent tour that we did, our headliner, there's one point we were jokingly just talking about the tour gods and they said, fuck the tour gods. And we're like, whoa. Don't ever say, we all got serious. Like we're all like, whoa, whoa, don't say that. He's like, oh, well, come on. We're like, no, 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 no. Don't ever say fuck the tour guides. Like the tour guides
are karmic smiting. Yeah.
And then I'm not saying this is his fault, but Marissa like fucked up her ankle. So she had to wear a boot for a bunch of shows. So she wasn't like really moving around.
Yeah, I didn't even hear about that.
We got into an accident in the van and then the van got stolen. And like every once in a while, I'd be like, you know what? You shouldn't have said fuck the tour gods. Like week two of the tour, you should have said it, man. It's like, oh, it's not my fault. I'm like, you're right, it's not. But just be kind of the tour gods.
Yeah.
I will say this. Touring right now is it's really great to get back into it, but like I feel like with every gift there's a sacrifice. So like getting back out there is a lot of fun and it's really dope to be like back in venues, but a lot of venues are kind of like a few venues shut down after we played our first shows there.
Because you were too damn good and they were like, another
no,
show like that.
We can't do it. No, it's just like, I mean, I guess they just never really were able to make it out of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of like, all right, let's see if we can like make it work. Yeah. And then just didn't happen. And then there's like a lot of places that we'd play where like we played at one place where they're like, yeah, we just had to get a new PA system because like they broke into the place and stole everything.
Damn.
Yeah. Or
insult to injury.
The other thing being, which is like the most common thing is that a lot of these venues have new people because everyone who was their regulars have either gone into the TV movie industry because that's the only place that's been constantly going during the pandemic, or they just went and found other jobs. So there was like a bunch of shows that were just like, where's the showrunner? Where's the guy? They're like, oh, I don't even know. Or this like literally like three people show up and they're like, yeah, they're doing a job of like six. Because there's just not enough people you've either they're on tour or they just don't do it there anymore. So it took some getting used to because it's like, it kind of feels DIY again, which is great. It's like, all right, listen guys, we've dealt with worse. Like we can make this work. Like where's the stage? Like what's going on?
I will say shout out to anyone who is making it happen though, because you know, like you said, a lot of people left their jobs or got different jobs or like left the music industry or the live music industry in some capacity. And like the people that are sticking around trying to make it happen, like shout out to that. That's great respect because it's hard to do when it's running properly.
I was going to say, even when it's a well-oiled machine, it's still rough, let alone like now when it's just like everything's on fire and everyone's just like getting buckets of water. Like, all right, show must go on. I will say we had one show of all the touring that was definitely like the worst show we ever played just because of like stuff wasn't there, people being brand new, no one understood what was going on. And like the short end of it, I won't say where or what happened, but we played four songs and no vocals came out of Marissa's mic. And then they switched mine and her mic. But it was like at the worst time because the next song was a song that I sang. So it was just like, you kind of screwed us, man. And then like I have a sampler and like we have a couple of songs with the sampler. It never came through. And then we were informed later by friends who were at the show. They were like, you guys weren't coming through the PA. There was just keys and vocals from your secondary person. Everything else was stage volume.
Wow. Oh
my God.
This is a premier venue in this state. I was just like,
Ohio.
It wasn't
Ohio. Oh, man,
Ohio. I can't put it on Ohio this time. I will say, Ohio always treated us right, rocking wise. They took our stuff.
It was one of those other 49 jokers. Picking up the slack. For the tour guys.
Take your stuff too, so stay clear.
Yeah, they'll take it.
I gotta say, I did love checking the old Instagram, seeing you without a bass on, just front personing. That was some cool shit.
Yeah, first time I did that, I sharted.
Was that first show?
I was like, yeah, let's do this. I never do this.
So, really just one-umping Fergie however you can.
Yeah, I mean, like,
you remember when she beat her pants on stage?
I won because I can hide it. I'm just leaning into it. I'm like, hey guys, let you know. Silver Springs, first show, Mannequin Pussy, post-pandemic, sharded.
Because you were so excited probably nervous and freaking out.
And you didn't have enough Taco Bell.
Yeah, not enough Taco Bell to keep it in.
To cork it, yeah. Like a hibernating bear, if you will.
Exactly.
That's your dirt and grass that you would eat.
Yeah, exactly.
So, how did that, aside from sharding the first time, how did that feel? How did it feel to be the front person for the moment? Because it looked awesome.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I never really did that before. Like, I've always, dreamed of doing something like that, but I've always been no, I just want to play bass. I just want to riff over here and shred and wave my head around and stuff like that.
You sing in the city and I've seen you shout and kids and stuff.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like that in that vibe, it's I'm I love playing guitar and singing with the city and I, and with kids, I'm very much just trying to orchestrate insanity. Yeah, with that one, I don't know, we've talked about just possibly just writing more songs where it is that vibe, and I don't know, it's a lot of fun. I don't know. I grew up listening to hardcore music and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so I've always loved, I'm trying to think of the bands I used to love listening to. I loved Have Heart and Down to Nothing and all that kind of stuff. I was never straight edge, but I loved straight edge hardcore music and stuff. And in the Philly area, I feel like I constantly just see all these other newer bands and everyone's running, and then we call the term when you take the guitar off and you start singing, we call that being unleashed. So Missy always gets to she always do the unleashed part where we're like, all right, put your guitar down, we're just gonna do some rippers.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was gonna sing and play the song at the same time, which I was totally vibing. I was yo, I will totally just play the song. And she's well, what am I gonna do? I'm oh, you'll play other guitar. She's well, why don't you go unleashed? And I was sure. I just never thought that would even be an option. And she's I'll learn the bass part, you sing. I was
that's
sure.
Excellent. Yeah, it's sick. It's great to watch.
It's funny because when I've seen the pictures of before, I keep forgetting that I'm the tallest member in the band. So yeah. I feel I'm sit down, little children. Daddy's got something to say.
I feel like everyone in the band's pretty intense despite the amount of weed that everyone smokes. But it's on stage, you guys are we're here to bring it.
Yeah.
Time to fucking bring it.
Yeah, we're definitely trying to rage it on stage as much as possible. And I don't know, I feel like that's just my favorite part, is that we're all I would say me, Missy, Kayleen, and all right guys, Shocker, we're so chill, very mild mannered. like we hit each other up and just be like, yo, I just got this new video game. Oh sick, I'm gonna get that video game too. We're not playing together with it, but we're talking about it later. I'm like, yo, I played that video game. It's like, yeah, I did too. All right, cool. I'll see you at practice next week. But then we go on, it's time to play. It's just all right, I'm going to just dissociate on stage. I'll see you guys after we're done. And then it's what happened there? It's like, yeah, I don't know. But everyone seemed to have a good time. We're all good, right? All right.
Well, it's like similar to like a professional athlete too. Like, you know, whenever they interview like a basketball player at the end of the game, they're like, oh, well, what did you guys do differently this time in order to secure the victory? Yeah. And they're just like, well, we tried hard and we remembered our fundamental. And they just like are just saying whatever because they don't actually remember what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, in that automatic place, the flow state.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah.
We scored more points than the other guys.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what Mannequin Pussy says when they get off the stage.
Yeah.
They get off the stage, they're like, well, we sure did rock that time.
Well, we Shard did rock.
Nice.
And I mean, like, that's truly what I'm going out there for, I think, personally. I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I'm definitely like, yo, we're going out there and we're going to freaking just, like, dunk all over this entire audience. Like, hell, I'm just here to do the flips and kicks and, like, I want to shatter the backboard and flips. Everything. Yeah, yeah.
Damn, this guy's part of the Globetrotters.
Yeah, exactly. I want them to be like, have you seen these guys?
Playing, like, a super heavy version of Sweet Georgia Brown. Is that the Globetrotters theme song? The, with the whistling?
I don't know.
But it's just like, Kayleen on a blast. Like,
exactly. Yo, I want to hear that now.
Next record.
Yeah, oh man, we'll see. I mean, so y'all know Kayleen. If y'all don't know, Kayleen Redding, soon to be world's greatest drummer. She, like, has recently been doing, like, videos of her, like, playing to, like, pop songs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then she did one.
TikTok stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And, like, she did one. It's, like, doing metal drums to Enya. I don't know if you ever saw that. It's brutal. It's, like, I never, like, I remember her talking to me about the idea, like, oh, I want to try and, like, make Enya, but like make it sound heavy. I was just like, okay. And then she like sent me the video. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. You just made this like 10 times more brutal.
Well, I gotta watch the shit out of that.
Oh, I'll send it to you.
Link it in the description.
Oh yeah. I'll put it in there. Yeah. Don't you worry.
But I was just saying like, we were just talking about, I was like, yo, we should bring more blast beats back into Mannequin Pussy. She's like, yes. I was like,
well, she got her start in Miss Talica.
Miss
Talica,
she's been playing.
I mean, Lars's drums, you know, maybe not the best drums, but the fucking metal is there.
Yeah, dude, she's already got the chops to, like, just blast anyone out of the water. She also did, like, a little stint playing with Soul Glow.
Yeah.
And, like, that was the only time I think I've ever got to see her play with double bass pedal. And I remember seeing her just jam with them, and I was just like, whoa. Like, holy crap. Like,
she filled in for you, Mikey, and Thin Lips. She can kill it in whatever fucking situation she's in, you know? Oh,
truly. And she's the ultimate chiller. She's mm-hmm. just like, yeah, let me know the song. I'll be there. Like, she'll be like, I don't know if I got it. And then she's like, does it sound like this? And you're like, yeah, that's actually perfect. That was exactly what I wanted you to do. But if you think you can do it better, sure. Like, I'm not going to stop you. And then she's like, I can't do it better. You're like, whoa, okay.
I loved when both of y'all lived at the warehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing you guys hanging out all the time and jamming all the time, getting to listen to her play in pretty much every band in the warehouse at least once.
It was a nice little rotation scenario there. I feel like it was like I would be jamming with Gigi and Pierce mm-hmm. and she would be jamming with them. And like, I think there was even other times where like she was just jamming with other people. I think there was like a No Doubt cover band and she jammed there mm-hmm. one time. And I don't know, there was a...
Did she do the RHCP cover with you too?
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the highlights of my career.
Marissa
and Kayleen, and then
Derek Brandon. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was the flea that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a holiday party, we were, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and we had the complete costuming, except for Kayleen was a little uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
So I don't think she did it. But what I had done is I had gotten Santa hats for everybody and boxer shorts. And instead of doing sock boy, like the Red Hot Chili Peppers do, I had sewn all the Santa hats to the crotches of the underwear. And so we had our Santa caps over our respective genitalia instead.
Yeah. I remember how that was like the first, because like I've always seen you play guitar and like I've always was like, yeah, it's Doc Back. He's the eye in the sky on the mixing board and like Shred-tastic, master. But that was the first time I ever saw you play bass. And I was like, whoa, wait, is it like that? And
yeah, that's just secretly like slapping my around. Primary instrument. Yeah.
I did not know.
I'm a nasty little slap boy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did not know. I remember, I was like truly just like, damn.
Well, thank you.
You're
that's
you're,
a compliment
yeah,
coming yeah, from you too, because you're a great bass player. Aww. You absolutely crush it.
Shucks. Stop.
Hey, we got to record you playing bass before.
Oh, that's a great point, tight. Evan. Yeah, I think that was the first Mannequin Pussy record that you played on, right?
That's right. Romantic.
That's the one that Evan and I worked on as our production partnership at Big Mama's Warehouse.
Yeah, I remember the day where you're like, what do you want your bass to sound like in this song? I was like, I want almost every song to sound like that Third Eye Blind album. Like, I need it to sound as good as the bass tone sounds on the Third Eye Blind.
Absolutely speaking our language. Yeah, that's pandering to us.
Yeah, dude. I was just like, yes, please. I actually listened to that the other day for the first time in like a while. Like, I don't really listen.
Yeah, it's your, you don't want to get high on your own supply.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was like one of the songs I was like, all right, which ones do we might want to bring back for like a set kind of thing? We have a couple of shows that we're like trying to shape the set for how the show might feel. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at some of the older songs and then I was like listening to Romantic and I was just like, holy crap. Damn, this is heavy. Damn, this is like, there's, I think, everything, there's like,
dude, that song rips.
Dude, when Marissa's vocals come in on that song, like, I literally was like, yo, what? Like, I had this moment where I was like, I even texted Marissa. I was like, yo, listening to everything now, like hearing this song, I was like, it sounds like, if I didn't know who we were and stuff, I'd be like, yo, that girl sounds like she has a problem. She's mad. She's so pissed off and we get out of her way. Like, Jesus Christ.
Not to mention Emotional High. Like, that's like your first pop foray.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I love that song anyway, but then when it got licensed to be in the Tick, the Amazon series, yeah. That was one of the proudest moments of my career.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
You did not know about this?
No, dude. Oh,
man, there's a roller derby scene in the show and Emotional High is playing in the background.
I don't know when I think it's like episode like 2 or 3 or something of The Tick.
I think you're right. It's where they introduce Arthur's sister. I can't remember the character's name. No, you didn't watch that?
I don't barely watch TV. I mean, I also heard that they used Mannequin Pussy as the music for the band from Mare of Easttown.
Oh, yeah.
So I did do that. All over that shit.
Yeah, yeah, they.
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
Oh, man, you should totally watch it. It's totally cool. I mean, for the show.
For research, yeah. It's a write-off.
Yeah, it's like, it's totally like, dude, Mare of Easttown. What's Kate Winslet?
Kate Winslet.
Did you watch it?
Oh, totally. I mean, like, so that's a funny story. Like, I feel like most of these scenarios like that's happened is just through like us just being a band in the city and knowing people who just homies. And our one friend who's known Marissa for a long time, she like works like set design for like shows, like just like clothing design, I should say. She was just like, the guy by Brad Inglesby was like, oh, we need like, you know, shirts and stuff to make it look like, you know, they're teens and stuff, to, you know, bands and band shirts and stuff. And so she was like, send us a t-shirt. And like, we're like, sure. She's like, yeah, you know, the best thing that happens is like your shirt's on like an episode of this TV show. We're like, cool. Like, why not? And we send the t-shirt and out of nowhere, I think it was like a month later, we get like an email from this guy and he's like, yo, we're like, we love the t-shirt, but then we looked up the band and we love the band and there's a band in the show and like, we think your music would fit as like the way to like make this band like a real thing. And Brad Inglesby is like from the Philly area. So he wanted to keep it like very local to like, I want to pick like an area band that would make sense. And we were like, sure, like by all means, like that'd be cool. And it was like before the pandemic. So like we did that and then the pandemic hit and then everything went silent. And so we were just like, oh, is this still gonna happen? Like, you know, pandemic goes on and then we see like an ad for Mare of Easttown. We're like, okay, well, the show's happening, but I guess we're not in it. And then all of a sudden there's an email being like, oh, no, like we're still using your music and stuff like that. And it's in like 3 or 4 episodes. And we're like, but they had to like reformulate everything because obviously they can't show like a live setting. Cause like they were filming during the pandemic.
Right,
so
right.
They had to like just reshape the show around those ideas and stuff. But we were just like, yo, like, thank you. Like, I'm just like, whoa, that's just blessings on blessings. Really. I was just like, I was just shocked. I was just like, yeah, please. Like we're just sitting here in the pandemic doing nothing. I would love to
bring on the press. Yeah,
like let someone say what's up, I guess. Like, why not? So
texting each other about video games, you know?
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, going back to the video game chats. Last of Us 2, great game. Sorry.
Oh, I'm actually gonna ask you more questions about the video games in a minute.
Oh yeah.
The burning question for me is, how did you feel about the accents in Mayor of Easttown.
Oh, they were great. You yeah. don't like those accents?
<He's>, no. I have yet to see it too. I have limited HBO access, oh, so I gotta get on it.
Who is it? I think it's Evan Peters is the one guy.
Yeah,
on
who plays Quicksilver in the Fox.
Yeah, X-Men exactly. Movies. Yeah, yeah. He plays like.
I heard his is a standout accent.
His accent. You would have thought he'd been living in like Delco area his entire life.
Mikey grew up in Delco.
As did I.
Have you watched Mayor of Easttown?
I have. Yeah.
Would you?
I was not a fan of the accent. Like, I thought they did a great job.
Okay.
But I also thought like he leaned into it too much.
He leaned into it hard.
I felt like, and it wasn't until like he kind of started strong, he fell off a little bit, and then it was like it was noticeable that he fell off, and that's when he leaned into it. Someone even, I guess it had to be my wife, because yeah. who the hell else did I watch that with? My wife would like said something about it, and then it was like the next episode was like really into the like O's.
Yeah.
And,
like,
maybe the consultant, too much. Like the dialect consultant may have been gone if it was like in the middle of the pandemic when that happened too. So he's like, all right, I got to fucking figure it out myself, I guess, dude. That's what yeah, there's a fucking murder out here,
yeah,
guy?
Yeah, cut, cuz. Cut this, cuz. They're like, well, you can't say cut. Yeah, he's not even saying it right.
How many times do they say Wawa in the show?
There's definitely a couple of Wawa hoagies.
Wawa.
There's definitely a couple of Wawa hoagies in there.
I love the Philly accent. It's real dirty. I love it.
I love it. I'm a big fan.
I don't understand how this pizza takes 11 minutes to get here.
It's going to be an hour.
After it's been an hour.
Sorry, I'm looking at the pizza tracker for Mikey.
It's been an hour and 10 fucking minutes!
Yeah, it's going to be an hour since she left the store, since the driver left the store.
Oh my God, what is the pizza going to be?
It said 20 minutes ago.
Well, this is where we declare yet again, we are a Taco Bell podcast. This is not a Domino's podcast.
Fucking motherfucker.
We have no space for you, Domino's. This is...
Taco Bell wouldn't treat you this way.
So hungry. Any fucking other pizza place would have been so much better than this.
Maybe they make the wait so that once it's here, you're like, oh my God, this is so good. And then you're like, oh, I guess I'll order Domino's. I remember that last time.
Why Chris Deem continued to order Domino's.
Yeah, what is that called? Not Helsinki syndrome. What's the...
Stockholm?
Stockholm syndrome. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, they want us to empathize with our oppressors, the Domino's.
I guess it just takes a long time, but it's all worth it.
This wouldn't have happened if we had just gotten Taco Bell.
Feed the beat.
Well, speaking of feeding the beat, should we listen to this week's song? Wow, Chris, those are some great vocals on that song.
Thanks, I sang them myself.
You don't say.
You shredded pretty hard. There's some pretty good licks in there.
Oh, what can I say? I like the lick. I'm like a dog. I'm like a friendly animal.
It's Chris on the lap steel.
Hey, don't you? There's no lap steel on this song.
Get it? Lap?
Oh, because I'm licking.
That was a good joke.
Lapping it up.
Sorry.
And steel, because I'm much like the beloved Shaquille O'Neal film. Steel.
No, I think it had
to do
with
a real film.
What you did in Akron to Mannequin Pussy.
Oh, guys. That's the lap stole. Yeah. Yeah. Past tense.
Lap stole.
Our van's been lap stolen.
They lap stole.
All right. Enough of this improv.
Lip stool.
Uh-oh. Yeah, we probably have some scatological fans out there who like that one. But anyway, yes, this might even be the oldest song on the podcast because I wrote that initially back in the Dangerous Ponies days.
Oh.
The very band that Mikey was talking about our money getting stolen back in Columbus, Ohio at the beginning of the episode. And it was too nasty for them.
I believe the last two songs were written for the Dangerous Ponies. Maybe not Behind the Stack, but I know the one that we ended up calling Couch Groove, you wrote when you were actually living at Sprinkle Kingdom.
Oh, no, no. I wrote that one at the model home because it was about the mice shitting on everything.
Oh, I thought that was at Sprinkle Kingdom.
Oh, did you live at the model home too?
I lived at the model home. I was there near the, I guess, the end of the run of that house where it was no longer a show house and it was just a flop house.
Oh, nice.
And the mice were so prevalent, I was tempted to put their names on the lease because they spent more time out in the living area than I did.
The unmodel home.
Excuse me, do you live here?
Is that one of the Danny DeVito mice?
The mice are like, what are you doing here?
Wait, do it in a Delco accent. Oh,
hey, yeah, you just living here? Like, you guys got any more cheesers y'all don't mind dropping on the floor?
Yeah, don't touch that fucking plate, dude. I fucking live there.
Yeah, let me tell you something. You can either live with or whiz with out. That's all I'm saying. Get out.
Damn.
Can't whiz with him?
Can't whiz without him. Put Mare on the case. Yeah, season two of Mary of Easttown is, I believe, Kate Winslet is going to try and find her van and all of our equipment. It's going to be a very
boring
season.
Oh my God, that would actually be fucking incredible.
I heard you guys got your stuff stolen. Yeah.
Wait, does she do the accent too?
Oh yeah, she's like Delco too.
Yeah, dude, she's Mayor of Easttown.
She does a great job.
She vapes real hard and she has a hard accent.
She nails it.
That rules.
But, I mean, the accent falls short.
Yeah.
It falls short of Delco.
I got HBO on my TV in my bedroom. I'll pretend to watch it one day.
Rude.
Yeah, it'll grab you. You'll be like, who did it? Could it be this
person? I want to watch it.
Could it be that person?
I like the idea of Mayor looking into your van, though, because that's a crime across state lines, right? So like, who would be the FBI equivalent of Mayor?
Yeah.
Like Meryl Streep comes in and does the accent.
I'm trying to think of like a good actress. Like, they have to get like a Julianne Moore to come and just like, she's from Ohio.
She's good at regional accents for sure.
She'd be like, what are you guys talking about? I don't know how they talk in Ohio. They're
regular.
Yeah.
All right. So just describe your van for me. Was there any pop in it? Any canes of soda pop we could identify?
Is there any pops in there? Is there any soda pops inside your van?
Yeah,
smelled kind of funny when we found it. Smelled like a skunk's been in there.
What's this food item you're eating? It's wood rice? Wood, what do you call it?
Wood rice?
Stealing Andy Black's goof there. Wood rice, yeah.
Wood rice.
Yeah, we got some cool accents around here.
Philadelphia, go Birds.
Actually, Jillian's roommate was actually saying, she's like...
That's Evan's girlfriend.
She was like, yeah, I watched this show called The Mayor of Easttown. She's like, it was really good, but the way they spoke was just so crazy.
Oh, it's like an alien species trying to speak English, for sure. I'm from Philadelphia. I've heard it my whole life. It still does not make sense to me.
No, it's a very interesting dialect. Mm-hmm. There's actually like I think there was like a little snippet of like Kate Winslet being like, oh, the hardest part about like doing a show was like the dialect. It's half one place and it's also half another place, but you're trying to meet it in the middle and it doesn't like, you know, I feel like actual people with like the Delco accent, you can't really hear it unless they get either drunk or they're like really hyped about something. But sometimes it's usually just like, you know, you're talking to someone and you're like, all right, you sound like a normal person. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, you just got to go down. And you're like, whoa. What? Wait,
it's like, what happened? Did you just drive away from me at 35 miles an hour in the middle of that O?
Mikey has a name for that. Delco brain.
Delco brain.
Oh, the Delco brain. That's your term, Mikey?
Or no, was it Delco mouth?
Well, Delco Mouth like is Delco when you're
or Hoagie Mouth.
Hoagie Mouth. Oh, yeah.
That's the one.
That's a classic fashion term.
Yeah. That's fucking like, Hoagie Mouth, dude. Hoagie I can't help it.
Yeah.
I got an Amoroso roll stuck behind my fucking tooth, and I can't help it. I have to talk this way.
I just remember at the end of some of our marathon practices when we would be hanging out. You know, when you get to that point where your brain just stops working, you're just like, I'm dumb. I feel like that's when Mikey's Delco accent would come out, and Mikey would just be like, Delco brain.
A term that I've been saying recently is a dummy Delco.
The dummy.
I say it when I identify it out in the wild.
Well, give us an example. What's a dummy Delco so the listener can spot it for themselves?
Prepare to bleep this out.
I don't even know, man. I don't even know. It's just. Well, that's all I got to say about that.
I guess it's just too hot for TV.
Whoa, man. That is dummy Delco.
Speaking of Delco, Bear, you grew up in Bed-Stuy?
I thought you were from the Poconos for some reason.
So I'm an older guy. I'm like in my 30s, 35 to be exact. I ain't afraid.
That's the range that we're all in this room. That's why we're podcasting.
So I lived in Brooklyn until like I was born in Bed-Stuy and like lived there till I was about 13. Then my parents were like, yo, we're moving to the Poconos. And it's like, oh, okay. Is it like Bed-Stuy? They're like, no, it's nothing. Like, actually, it's the complete opposite of everything you've ever grown up with.
Oh my God,
it's
what like, was that like? Yeah,
exactly that. The complete opposite. It was like, remember all those people that you've grown all these lasting relationships and friends that you've known all your life and you don't actually feel like an outcast because there's a lot of people that look like you? Let's change all of that. We're just going to throw you into this smaller town where no one knows who you are. It's going to be your first year of high school, so this would be great. And like, you know, also, like, you can't take a bus or a car ride. Like, you have to have a car here. Mm-hmm. Like, it was definitely, like, day and night scenario where it's like, oh, this is where we live now.
Okay. Did you enjoy it at all?
I would say this. I didn't enjoy it, but if it wasn't for me trying to find different outlets because of me not enjoying it, I don't know if I would have found music. Because that was like my grandfather gave me a guitar. He's like, there's nothing to do out there. So you might want to use this. Like he was like a military dude. So he kind of just saw things very plainly. So he was just like, I heard you guys are moving. So I got you this guitar.
Wow.
Yeah, you're going to have some things to express. Yeah.
Like of all the things. And like, so I was like, all right, cool. And like, I even brought it with me and like, didn't even use it for the first like year or so. And then I don't know, somehow it just like hit me where I was like, oh, maybe I should learn how to use this thing. And
you saw someone.
Yeah.
And they were probably standing next to someone you liked and you're like, fuck, wait, I got a guitar.
I got a guitar. Ding, 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 ding. I also know a Dave Matthews Band song. I can play Under the Bridge.
And then I'm gonna ass under the dance.
How am I going to get these ladies to the dance if I don't know how to play this John Mayer song?
This next one's called Your Body is a Candyland.
Yeah, yeah. I remixed it a little, you know, just for you, Denise.
Because you're so sweet.
Your body is a Starbucks latte.
Oh, yeah, that's more current.
The friends you made up there, did they influence you getting into like punk and hardcore? Or were you into that prior?
Punkin'?
Pumpkin hard,
pumpkin spice,
gold pumpkin spice and hardcore.
Yeah, were you into pumpkin?
I was always into pumpkin.
You playing pumpkin patches?
The great pumpkin is a real thing, and do not deny yourself. Linus was right. Ask about
hashtag Linus was right. Hashtag the great pumpkin was an inside job.
Wow, I like where this is going.
Inside blob.
Jet fuel can't melt pumpkin vines.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh my god.
I don't know if they're ready for that. Chris, you're speaking too much truth. They're going to shut this podcast down.
Dude, I'm trying to scoop up those stray Joe Rogan fans right now.
They're like, what?
I don't know how we didn't do it after, for the entirety of Ruben's podcast, he just talked about Flat Earth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I shouldn't put it like that because Ruben's like, no. Nah,
he's not a Flat Earther.
Not anywhere near a Flat Earther. He was just like, I don't understand how people believe this.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But anyway.
So, like, growing up in the Poconos, like, because like I found punk, like that's where I met like one of my best friends now, William Francis Arender, also known as Billy or Squid as well. I like to call him Squid. I always call him Squid till the day he dies.
What will you call him after he dies?
Yeah, yeah.
Calamari?
Yeah, calamari.
Oh no.
Yeah, he played drums in Captain We're Sinking. Mm-hmm. He plays drums in a band called LA now, and he also has a band called Those Troublemakers. But I've known him for like forever.
Plays kids too, no?
Yeah, he plays drums in kids as well. And like he was like one of the first people, along with one of my best friend, Joe Tranny. Like he was actually the first person I met in like high school, and he was wearing like a Ramone shirt, and I was just like, yo, I really like the idea of punk. Like, and you like give me some CDs, and he gave me like, I think Pump Up the Volume was like the last NOFX album that had just come out. So he gave me all the NOFX albums that he had of that before then. Like, so it's like Maximum Rock and Roll and like Minor Threat and and like Fugazi. He like gave me essentially like, you know, the starter pack. It's like, here's Fugazi, here's Minor Threat, here's NOFX, here's Rancid, here's Lagwagon, here's some like all the Ramones, and then here's the Clash. And I remember at the time I was like, I don't really like the Clash, the Ramones is chill. And but when I was like listening to like NOFX and Rancid, I was like, I really like this stuff, like anything that was like faster. I was like, yeah, give me more this fast stuff. And like then I listened to Minor Threat and stuff.
It took me a long time to come around to the Clash too. At first it was like kind of off-putting for me, because I just knew like the mega hits, and it just seemed like some silly pop stuff.
Yeah.
But then again, like the Ramones had, you know, arguably huger mega hits, but I also immediately glommed onto them.
Did you ever come around to them?
Not exactly. See, I've never been like a big like dub reggae-ish style, like, I don't know, like that kind of music's never really hit the same way. And it's crazy because like I love getting high, I love weed, and like there have definitely been times I've gone to like places and you hear the dub going off like do 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 do, and I'm like, all right, this is cool. But like 5 minutes in, I'll be like, I feel like my brain is about to split apart. I can't take this anymore. This song has gone on way too long.
You're like, this is too slow. Yeah, this song like, needs to be 50 seconds long. Yeah,
exactly. Where are the fucking blast beats?
Yeah. Like it either needs to be way slower or extremely faster. Like this is like, dude, dude, dude. I'm like,
when's it going to do?
Yeah. I feel like I've just been sipping syrup the entire time. Like, I'm like, the viscosity is too thick. Like, can it just happen already? I have to actually, like, my biggest influence is this one girl that I used to go to high school with. Her name's Gina, and she, like, introduced me to all the better stuff that I'd never, like, I don't think I would have found it without her. Like, I was like, yeah, I really like NOFX and Blink-182 and Newfound Glory and stuff. Like, this is cool. She's like, that's cool. And I was like, I also heard a Pantera song and I like that. And she's like, oh, you like Pantera? And like, I'm like, yeah. She's like, what do you think about Converge? I was like, what's that? She's like, here. And she handed me Jane Doe. And I remember being like, what the fuck did you just show me? Like, I didn't even know music could even sound like this. Mm-hmm. And she's like, cool. Like, do you want to listen to Nine Inch Nails? You want to check out? Yeah. Like, she's just showed me all the weird, like,
this is the full Hot Topic spectrum. This is the whole
like
pantheon.
She just like put me on to just like other stuff that I think I would have just missed at the time, because she was just like, oh yeah, like you should totally like check out like these industrial bands. She put me on to like System of a Down and Tool and like all that stuff. And
oh,
I was
the
like,
heavy shit.
Oh, the heavy shit. And that's like, I mean, in all honesty, I'm like, I'm all about the heavy shit. Like, I love heavy music. I'm either listening to like Carly Rae Jepsen, sugary sweet pop music.
Yep.
Or it's got to be like the most disgusting, brutal metal or like intense noise or something. Like, you know, I can totally will be like, call me maybe one next second. Then I'm just like, oh man, this black metal song. Yeah, like, please rip out my soul into the sun. Yes. Like,
I gotta say, this is probably like the 40-somethingth episode of this podcast. I don't even know if that's a number.
It's like 44th episode, maybe.
But either way, it's like we've done so many of this and we've talked to so many people. And I'm like, a big thing that I feel like our music community has in common is we're just like all spectrums of music.
Yeah.
Like, we fuck with it all.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, you're like, yeah, Carly Rae Jepsen to fucking Nine Inch Nails to like, you know, black metal. And I'm like, yeah, I do that. And it's like every other guest we had on this podcast also was like, yeah.
Well, that's where music innovation comes from too. Like, that's where new genres come from. It's blending of two other things or multiple other things.
Absolutely.
So Philadelphia is like a hotbed of new and interesting stuff, and that's a big reason as to why.
I mean, I'll say it. I feel like Philadelphia is the mecca right now. Like, I feel like we're a city that has a lot. There's just so many different artists on so many different spectrums, just like killing it right now from the city. And some of them not even really from this city. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there are a lot of people who will come to Philadelphia because they know that there's just something in the water here.
Yeah.
Like
basically all of Scranton moved here.
Yeah. Yeah. All Scranton. Like there was that time where everybody from Florida moved here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And like
Spirit of the Beehive and all those wackos.
You know what I mean? And then like, you know, Baltimore and everything. Like we have some of the best, like in folk music and stuff. Like, you know, you can talk about the War on Drugs or like Dr. Dog or any of that shit, which I mean, not to say they aren't good. They're great. You know what I mean? And then like to like the most nastiest, like Soul Glow is probably, I personally think like Soul Glow is going to be like one of the biggest bands that the world's still like catching on, but they're just like, they're just too good. Like yeah, they're just constantly pushing the line of like what music can be, especially when it comes to like aggressive music and
genre blending too.
Yeah, exactly. And like, and they've been doing that from the jump, I feel. And like, it's really like, they're just getting better and better. Like, I can't wait for this next album. I feel like it's going to be insane. Like I am like hyped.
It's sick.
Yeah. And like, there's other people like, I don't know, like, I feel like there's people like Shannon Moser, like,
love Shannon.
One of the best voices in the city. Like, I don't know. I've had times where I've like woken up and I'm like, just making my coffee and I just put her album on just so I can like start my day. I'm like, I just need like an angel speaking to me right now for a moment. And then I can just like feel at peace for a second.
Gotta remember also Jay Brecky came from here too.
Yeah, Jay Brecky. That's what I'm saying. Like, dude, Michelle Zahner is like a freaking superstar right now.
Oh
like,
yeah, it's like,
best selling New York Times author. Yeah,
exactly. I'm like, dude, if Oprah had a show still, she'd be on it. Like I could see her being on it. Like it's just insane. Like
back when, you know, she did like the 30 songs, like the every song a month. I forget what it's called, but Craig had it, and every morning at breakfast, he would put it on at the warehouse, you know? It's just like a staple. Like you're saying, you pop Shannon on, it was just like, pop Michelle on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, it's funny, I was talking about with someone the other day about how like, I think he's either like, either Marissa or maybe even Kayleen, and we went to L Bar, and we're there at the bar, and like, we're grabbing a drink, and all of a sudden, I just see Michelle Zahner from Japanese Breakfast, just like, in like, full Korean garb. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing, buddy? Like, what are you doing? Here, she's like, oh, I'm filming a music video. I'm like, oh, okay. And she's like, yeah, it's for like Everybody Wants to Love You, blah, blah. I'm like, cool, that's sick. Like, and I didn't really know anything about her music. I just knew that she was like Missy's friend, and like Sam Rudich of Ranch Records, like he had put out the first Japanese Breakfast tape, or one of the first Japanese, I think it was called June or something.
Yeah, June, that was it. It was because she wrote all the songs in the month of June. That was it. It was called June.
And so I was like, oh yeah, like cool. And like, you know, watched her shoot the video, and then I'm just like drinking in the background. She's like, you want to be in? I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, I just like, I'm a very like, I don't want to be in a video. I just want to be in the background chilling. I'm just hanging out. I don't know. It, like, I had that moment when I thought about that, like when we're like, it's like the fifth night at Union Transfer, and like they named the coat check the Michelle Zahner coat check, you know what I mean? And like, they just sold out five nights, and I was just like, man, like this girl's been like working her ass off since the moment I met her. Like, and like now she's like, you know, like you said, New York Times bestseller. I feel like I'm almost positive I saw like there's like a thing saying that there's gonna be a movie eventually for the book or whatever. Like,
oh, I think I read that somewhere too. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, wow, she, you know, made a soundtrack for a video game, and like,
hey, she's not the only one.
Yeah. I'm sorry. There's, you know, it's really, you know,
she did part of my shameless plug. Punch, though. Yeah.
Well, we've been working on it for 4 years. Yeah. So, yeah.
We were working on it, and
she had a quicker turnaround. So she beat us.
And it came
punch.
Out, we were like, oh, man. Oh,
yeah.
But it's sick.
So
it's
much for innovation.
Sick.
Yeah. It's just like, I feel like Philadelphia, just in general, like I said, it's just, there's just something going on here. And I think there's a lot of people that are trying to just understand what's going on here. Not even so much just to be a part of it. Because I feel like that same thing I would always have that question on tour. It's like, what's it like in Philly? Because I feel like everything is coming from Philly. And I'm like, is that really true? Is everything coming from Philly? Because I'm always like, I feel like everything's coming from like LA or like Chicago. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like some of the best artists are coming in. They're like, no. Like, I got all these artists, and like, you know, even like I said, just every genre you can imagine in this city. And it's like, I hope it just keeps being the mecca for a while.
I think it will. I mean, we play with like young bands all the time. We played with this band called Heatloaf the other night.
Okay.
What the fuck, dude? These kids are like 22 or something, and they had like the most beautiful harmonies I've ever heard.
Oh my God.
Like, what the fuck is this? And like, I've been working with my friend Noah on his record, and he's fucking awesome. And I was like, what's the deal with this band? He's like, oh yeah, they're great. He's like, oh, here are all these bands who are like 21, 22 that just like slay it right yeah. now. And I'm just like, I'm old. Like, yes. The next generation has come.
Yeah. I was hanging out with my boy Mikey earlier, and it's funny because I was like showing him some bands. I was like, yeah, these are like some newer bands. I was like, yeah, like listen to this drummer. I was like, this kid's like this old and he's like really young. I guess this band called The Armed. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the drummer Uriah Hackney, he's like amazing. He's just
ridiculous.
Yeah, he's insane. And like, I was like, I could just watch a drum cam of that if I could. I'm like showing it to my friend Mikey, who's also a drummer. And I'm like, yo, you got to check this out. And he's hearing it. I'm like, yo, do you hear these fills? He's like, yeah. He's like, man, I'm at that age where when I hear these young people, he's like, I feel like when I was younger, it would inspire me. But now it just makes me feel like old. Like, I feel like, oh man, I can't play like that anymore. Like, how are they even able to like do that right now? And I'm like, damn, you're right. I do have that sometimes. Like, I heard like no shade to, but like I listened to like the newest Turnstile album and I was like, damn, this is so good that it makes me bummed out. Like, it's just so goddamn good. Like, fuck.
Oh, are they a younger band? I don't know much about them as people.
But I mean, like, they're like close
to our age.
Yeah. They gotta be.
They've been around for a minute. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like, that record is fucked up.
Yeah. It's really, really good.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
It's like not.
Well, it's also grabbing a lot of production techniques from other genres, too. The sonic.
It was like the perfect
landscape time,
too. Cause it's like, I mean, you know, now it's a Turnstile podcast, but like the album, I feel like, was just like, there are all these elements of hardcore, but then there's all these, like you said, different recording elements that are not typically used at all in hardcore music. Mm-hmm. And then all the lyrics are just about trying to understand loving yourself, which is just like, I don't know too many hardcore albums I ever listened to that ever made me talk about loving myself. It made me talk about like brotherhood and stuff, but not like trying to understand like seeing yourself and like, and not trying to place a mirror to someone else to understand yourself kind of stuff. And
I kind of feel like the thing, you know, Turnstile's always been like left of center from hardcore, you know? I mean, this new album, I wouldn't even say is like a hardcore album.
Yeah.
Actually, you guys were the ones who introduced me to Turnstile when we were doing Romantic. You guys were like, this band is fucking sick.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm like, is this a hardcore band? They're like using chorus pedals and shit.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, they're just like,
it's like some chill ass pop going on behind this hardcore.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
What is that?
Like, there's some heavy riffs, but then there's like some chillaxers.
They just have like a vibe, dude.
Yeah. And like, I'm totally for it. Like, you know, we're getting newer artists too. Like, you know, there's like Barty Strange and stuff.
Where
it's just like the artist is no longer going to just be like something you can just be like, yo, they're a rock artist, or it's just like, this is a band that makes music, or this is an artist that makes music and accept the music that they create, like whether it is left or right or, you know, wherever. It's just because, you know, like you said, all these people come in the podcast and they're like, well, I listen to this and I also listen to it. It's like a spectrum. It's like, yeah, like, you, why wouldn't there eventually be artists that just make spectrums in their albums?
If it's good, it's good.
Yeah, exactly. We're getting closer to that. Like, I don't remember who it is. Like, I've heard it attributed to a number of people, like Duke Ellington, some other old jazz artists, depending. But there's that like binary of music where it's like there's only two kinds of music: good music and bad music.
Yeah,
and that's what it comes down to. Like, it doesn't really matter anymore, especially in an era of no one's going out to buy a specific record from a specific type of record store. If they're looking for like one type of genre, that's the one of the few benefits I'd say of digital streaming music, is you can just click on to the next thing and just like find out what else is out there with minimal effort. And so like, you can just get the whole buffet, just fill up your plate.
Yeah. Yo, I got a question for y'all. And like, I was thinking about that just because someone asked me this the other day, and like, it was very easy for me, but it was also like, it's kind of like a hard, it's like, you know, it's kind of like a social experiment kind of question, but like, would you rather, let's say the music that you're making, like you make music and you're, you know, whatever art you're making, you do it for years and you get no praise whatsoever. Like, no one finds any interest in.
All right, we're there.
But when you die and it becomes like this thing that stands the test of time. Like, it lasts beyond your actual life. You know what I mean?
Talking
like
about Sublime?
Never. I don't think that's Sublime. I'll tell you that. I'm sorry. This is a no Sublime love over here. It goes right to the dumb stuff, man. What are you doing?
Anyway.
Yeah, stop Roman Sublime. Or Would you rather what you're making has like all this praise, you get massive success, but when it's over, like you're over and like that's it. Like it's impactful and it's like.
And then the day you die, you're erased.
But not even erased, but just like, it just doesn't really mean, like it kind of like goes out like yesterday news. Yeah, exactly.
I don't give a fuck, dude. I'm just going to make the music. It would be really nice to be successful, but regardless of what's happening, I'm going to make the music.
Yeah.
I am telling myself that we're in column A currently. No, they're going to love this when I'm dead. Yeah, yeah. Let's just keep plugging till then.
When this is over, they're gonna be like, what? We should have known.
That's the first guy we're cloning. Let's bring him back. See what else is in the chamber.
What about you, Mikey?
I'm going to have to go with, I guess, A.
Yeah, no, I'd rather be impactful in a way versus, like, I guess just everyone's like, oh my God, you guys are so amazing. It's like, oh, so, my God, that's so great. And then, like, it's like, it doesn't even matter, like, like 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always like, oh, who? Who is that? I always like to think that, like, maybe one day I'll be, like, 40 or 50 years old. And I guess 40 and 50 is not that far away. So, like, let's say 60 or 70. 60 or 70. And they're like... like, oh, we found this kid's record. Like, whoa. Like, you guys were doing some wild stuff. I'm like, I know. I know. I can't play it anymore.
It's like, no, they'll just have you reunite.
Yeah.
On stage.
Can we get kids back together on stage? And I'm just like with a walker. I'm like looking like... or like Tony Iommi, just like, all right, let's do it. Just set my guitar up.
One more song. Or you could be Bruce Springsteen and wear diapers on stage.
Oh,
you
know? Does he wear diapers on stage?
That's what I've been told.
What? I haven't heard this.
I've been told the band is so old at this point that they all wear diapers when they play because they play.
A true shardist.
Yeah, a true shardist. No. Maybe they knew something that I wish I would have known. Had I known then what I know now.
Testament to them, dude. They're like all in their 70s, I think, at this point, and like they're playing 4-hour sets still in a row. Like it's fucking
sharding along the way.
Sharding's just sharding for 4 hours. I mean,
if it was my job to be a 70-year-old man and play a 4-hour set, sounds like it would be a great job. And I would definitely be wearing a diaper.
Yeah.
Either that or loading up on plenty of that Taco Bell to clog you up.
Yeah. Do you think there's like ever a moment where Bruce is like on stage and he's like, crap, when's the next 15-minute break? like I'm going to let Max Weinberg just do a drum solo and I'm just going to chill back here and call Obama and ask him what he thought about the new Kanye West record or something. I don't know.
You think that's the conversations that Bruce Springsteen...
I don't understand why Obama and Bruce are friends. Like, if I'm going to have my Ruben moment, I don't get that relationship.
You know, they're both famous people, so it's just like...
Well, I went to a rally for Obama, like, way back in college. It was just Bruce Springsteen performing and talking about Obama.
Oh, man.
And I say talking in the way that Bruce Springsteen talks, where it's just like... Hello, you know what? I love Obama.
Yeah, this guy seems like a really great guy.
Well, I couldn't understand fucking anything he was saying, but then he would, you know, bust into an acoustic version of Born to Run. I'm like, okay, I know what all these words are. I can follow it now.
Ain't it New Jersey?
Oh, that's like a John Cougar Mellencamp Springsteen hybrid you're doing right there.
What's the one Bruce Springsteen Christmas song he does?
He has like a Santa pimp hat that he wears on stage when he performs it.
I've listened to it 8 million times.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's like, I'm not a big fan of like Christmas songs. Well, I should say this, I like sad Christmas songs, but that's the only like one of the few uplifting Christmas songs I enjoy, because he's saying, okay, you guys having a good time?
Yeah. You can hear how much fun he's having that whole time, for sure.
You can hear how much fun he's having whenever he's playing a gig.
That's true. Well, you know, when you're making that much money every time, it must feel pretty fun.
He's like, Jersey.
Do you think he's column A or column B in that situation? He'll last forever.
I think he's
after
both.
Yeah,
he's the purple circle. The Venn diagram.
I feel like when, you know, all our time comes eventually, and when his time comes, it'll be rough for a while, and then we're gonna get a lot of crazy posthumous albums of like demos and so on. But like it'll be like some kid in the middle of America who's gonna hear Born to Run for the first time and he's going to reshape it on a sampler in a day. You know what I mean? Or like, dude, he's going to hear it and he's going to be like, oh, I'm just going to take the same melody, do something. Like, I feel like that's like such the way of like the bigger artist is like your art just reforms in its way without you touching it because you've become such an influence. And like, so someone will be like,
baby, we were born to run, bitch.
You know, like I can see it, like it just completely changes the vibe.
Oh, I was hearing in my head as soon as you said that, like it gets to the Born to Run and then it drops to like a halftime breakdown behind it with trap high hats on it. It's like, I'm like, imagining, I'm like, yeah, that could slap for sure.
Baby, we were born to run. Are you thinking more Blast Beats? Wait, what are we talking about?
Like halftime kick and snare with some like real nasty like double time hi-hats over it.
Oh, okay.
The triplets.
Yeah.
Damn, okay. But see, that's what I'm saying. It could happen right now. If you're trying to make $1 million right now, Chris, this is my new pyramid scheme. Well, let's take these songs.
A remix pyramid scheme, yeah.
I don't know. I was also like, I don't know, I'm not a Boss fan. I know the songs. But I like it's sad to say I'm definitely like, yeah, whatever to the Boss and whatever to Sublime. But I'm definitely like, yo, I love the Beatles.
Oh, absolutely,
like,
dude.
I mean, yeah.
There's this like weird movement among young artists too, where they'll just be like, the Beatles suck. They're overrated. And it's like, you're lying.
Have you not heard a Beatles song?
Yeah. Or any song ever that you can trace directly back to something that they did. Like,
and like the thing too, like I will say this about the Beatles and I'll stop from here, is that there's so many different versions of the Beatles. Like, how can you can't really just be like, it's all bad. It's like, exactly. Dude, they change just constantly. They were a pop band. Then they were like an indie band. Then it became like a psych band. And then they became this really insane, like just good songwriting, like towards the end of their years. I still think like Abbey Road is like one of the best albums ever made.
Oh yeah. Especially if you strip all the Phil Spector stuff away.
No, that's.
Oh, that's Let It Be.
That's Let It Be. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah,
I think Abbey Road is true.
Yeah.
Abbey Road is the pinnacle of the Beatles.
Yeah. It's
opinion.
Like truly just like, whoa, they really got high on this one.
Yep.
Yeah. True rippers. And they created that kind of structure for like Philadelphia artists now where they're just like, yeah, and now I love fucking everything.
Yeah, like, exactly. Oh,
the range was smaller back then, but they basically were, you know, like black metal to Carly Rae Jepsen as was available at the time.
I mean, it said that Ringo technically may have created the first hip hop beat. You know what I mean? Like it's not like intentionally.
Oh, wait,
but
which
like,
song are you thinking?
Just like his drum breaks, his drum beats like were used later on in like a different sampling. And then obviously then there's like Kraftwerk if you want to go into it.
Yeah, and I usually think of like the Amen Brother break, right? That was used on like 90% of like hip hop songs for an era. Amen Brother, and I forget what the other one was. There's two big ones.
James Brown, the Funky Drummer beat, no?
Yeah, Funky Drummer was the other one. Funky Drummer was the big one, yeah.
And some even say like, I mean, granted, some people even talk about Led Zeppelin, but like, I Want You is sometimes considered like one of the first like introductions to doom because it's like that riff is
she's
like
so heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw Torch play that shit in fucking Drop A and it was fucking heavy.
Yeah. It's heavy. She's so,
it was so sick. I was like, damn, this is how this is supposed to be listened
to. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I also get it. Like, you know, John Lennon was a piece of shit and.
Yeah,
like, you know, there's reasons to not really fuck with the Beatles. But if we're talking about them as artists, I guess you can like Sublime. I don't know. I don't know what I was trying to get to the point of.
Look, don't idolize people. People are inherently bad.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Everyone try to be good.
Everyone just be good. Bear's here. Bear's telling you to be good. Listen to Bear.
Try to be good, y'all. Do your best.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you?
Oh yeah,
that's the Delco album.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah,
oh yeah.
Oh, you know what? Something we just bypassed earlier, and I said I was going to come back to it.
Oh, video
it.
Games.
What games does Mannequin Pussy play?
Okay, so all three of us are definitely very different, but we like certain things, I will say. So like Marissa is really into like just like your typical role playing game, not like full on RPG, like Final Fantasy style, but like more
like action RPG.
Yeah, like the game that me, her, and Kayleen both talked about the most was like The Last of Us and Resident Evil.
Part 2 or Part 1?
Both.
Or both.
So I should say I played part 1 at a very perfect time. It was week three into the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
So playing a video game where literally it starts off with them like, you know, the virus has spread.
Yeah.
And like people are in panic. Shit, yeah. I was like, fuck, this is bad timing. Like, like, what's going on? But Missy is like really into The Witcher.
Oh, yeah. That's a dense series. I actually jumped off of it because I started with the third one and there was like a catch-up sequence in it where they just like summarize the last two games, but also allow you to make choices about the like whatever happened in the last two, because it all carries through. And I was like, I don't know who the fuck any of these people are. I don't know what any of these names are.
I have no attachments to this.
I was like, I am out of here. I'm going to go get fucking Mass Effect or something. Yeah. Something I got wrap my head around.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where like it's so much different for me, because like, so like with Missy, it's like that, or like Ghost of Tsushima, or
dude, I love Ghost of Tsushima.
Great game. This is my great list here. Game. Yeah. And like Kayleen is like very big into like the Resident Evil games and so on.
Oh,
and she was even the one, she's like, should I play The Last of Us? I'm like, yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, it's probably scarier than Resident Evil at times. I feel like The Last of Us 2 is way more just like playing this intense drama, and then there's also zombies.
Yeah. It's and, more about the story of the characters than the dangers of the environment. And although then, the environment's also amazing.
That part where like, oh, the zombies aren't even the worst thing to worry about. It's the other people. Like, what's, we're a society.
Classic trope, but this game does it better than any other.
Oh, absolutely. But me, I'm like, we were saying, like, give me some Mass Effect. I'm like, I play Call of Duty Warzone. I'm like a big fan of Warzone.
Oh, Mr. Michael Paul over there is a Call of Duty machine.
Oh, you're
I've fallen off, though.
I've also fallen. I traded mine in, finally. I had Call of Duty Cold War, and I just, it was too toxic of an environment. I'm a sensitive guy, so the multiplayer really got to me after a while.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
I was literally playing the other day with a couple of friends, and there's this moment where we were playing Search and Destroy, and then like we beat them in the first round. And I was like, not even like hard, like shit talking. I was just like, got him, yeah. And then some guy's like, oh, shut up. Don't make me go racist. And I literally just said, I'm like, you can't go racist. You just had to start off racist. What are you talking about? You can't just assume that, oh, I just beat you in one round. And you're like, oh, I was a normal human being, but now this one moment Call of Duty is making me think all these ignorant thoughts.
If it's in you, that's what you are.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure,
Like immediately I'm just like, all right, I'm going to mute this whole team and like got to get back into the game. But like, yeah, it's hard sometimes. It's like, it's the reason why I'm like not on Twitter. I'm a sensitive guy too. I can't handle people just like yelling into the wind, like ridiculous. I'm like, nope. Give me the joint. I'm going back to my room. Sorry. Can't do this.
Also, like, with the shooter, I don't want to stop.
Yeah.
I want to go game after game. Like all night long. Like
it's addicting.
3-5 in the morning.
Yeah, truly. It can definitely put a strain on the relationship. Yeah, I'll say that. I definitely had days where I'd be coming home and I'm like, I'm just going to play Call of Duty until I go to bed. Sorry, babe. I love you.
Well, I'll tell you what my technique was for dealing with the shit talkers in between rounds. I took more of an active stance against them. I may have told the story on the podcast before, but I think you'll appreciate it. We had done a number of things where like sometimes we would just like put our mouths over our microphones and our headphones and just like not yell, but just like sing a tone for the entire time. So it was distorted and awful. And we could hear people like, shut up, shut the fuck up, shut up. And just like let it ride the whole time.
But yes.
The best one that I did was I synced up, you know, the Bonnie Raitt song, Something to Talk About.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I just got the chorus of that. It's the perfect length of time, like the twice to the phrase to the amount of time that you have in that like area where you can talk with the.
So you could just play
every round. In between every round, I would just pop that bad boy on. Oh. And at first, like the first three or four rounds, people were just like furious and they hated it. And by like the, because we were playing Seek and Destroy as well, by like, maybe like the fifth one, the entire chat was singing along to the song.
Man.
It changed the vibe.
You pacified them.
Yeah. No, I won them over. We were all friends at the end.
I will say the playing Warzone, it's like the Battle Royale game that they have for Call of Duty is a lot more fun in that. Like, it's still kind of like playing multiplayer, but the only people you're talking to are your squad.
Yeah.
So, like, I definitely appreciate that. And it definitely was like, I would say the great unifier in the pandemic, because I definitely like reconnected with friends I hadn't talked to in forever, but they were like, we're all playing this game. And now they'll be like living in Seattle and like never have time to really like talk or see them. But I'm like, yo, I'm about to get on call, dude. Like, yo, what's up? I'm going to sneak out the bathroom. I'll see you there. Like, like, all right, cool. And then there we are just like talking shit and while also like blowing up helicopters. And yeah, like, yeah. I love it. I truly love it.
Yeah, that's lovely.
And like I said, like, I like, you know, in all the other games, like I'm, you know, I love a good old Sonic and Mario and stuff like that. Like the old school stuff. Like,
oh, hell yeah, dude. Can't beat the classics. Definitely
have gotten emulators and just been like, all right, I'm just going to spend the whole day and just going to beat Mario 2 right now. Like that's
oh, the only I beat Mario 2 during the pandemic. Yeah.
I definitely got like a bigger gaming bug during the pandemic. Like before I used to like not give a shit about video games. I was just like, okay, cool. Like I'll play them when I can. But then, you know, there was nothing to do. So then I was like, all right. I immediately was like, oh, I love shooting things for hours. Like, this is awesome. Like, I would have moments where I'm like, you know, I would be dreaming about like me being in like a little box and jumping out with a shotgun and be like, pfft.
Oh yeah, dude, back when Halo 2 came out, I played that game so much that when I would close my eyes to go to sleep, I could see the HUD, like the heads-up display.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, like in my vision. It was like burned into my vision.
It'll infiltrate your brain.
Yeah.
I used to have that with Tetris.
Just all of a sudden, it's just...
Seriously, it was fucked up. So I had to stop playing Tetris before bed.
So good, though.
Wow, I think that's the only reaction that intense to Tetris in history.
Look, I played a lot of Tetris. The problem was, I was pretty good at Tetris, but I don't have fast reflexes. Mm. So, like, my brain would know where to put the... When it gets real fast, my brain would be like, all right, I got to put it over here. But, like, my fingers are like giant sausages. And they're, like, not connected to my brain so well sometimes. So I'm just like, oh, damn it. Plus, I mean, that's what the game's designed to do, is make it difficult to do that. But
if, for the listener, each of Evan's hands is like a ham hock with a sausage coming out of it. And that's his thumb.
Sounds delicious. I got
these big sausage hands to play my little Game Boy. It's so hard.
Yeah, see, when your fans who are 70, or when you're 70, who are coming back to get kids back together, that's going to be Evan when he's 70. Like,
my hands, they're just big sausages. I can't do it. They're sausages now. It's kind of... I remember one time someone, I played a show, we did a kid set, and they were like, I can't believe you're able to do this just with those hands. And I'm like, what's wrong with my hands? Like, my hand's too big. What do you, I'll do it again. I'll work out my hands, make them thinner.
Got to play some Tetris, train
up.
Yeah,
exactly.
Get that dexterity going.
That didn't help.
Made them bigger. Made them bigger and stronger.
Well, here, Evan, you play bass for kids. Get your little fingers sped up. Bear, you play some Tetris and you guys swap.
There you go.
Bada bing, bada
boom. Just me and my mitts.
Exactly.
I do love playing bass, but I'm going to let Bear have Bear's jurisdiction when Bear's 70.
Oh man, the bass. I feel like you need to have the thick sausage hand for all that sliding when you're like, boo-doo-doo-doo-doo. You just got to have those thick hands.
I got these tiny stick hands. Yeah. That's why I do the nimble.
Yeah, that's why you got to do the
bam, bam, bam. Exactly. That's the only way I get the beef out of it. I got to slap my whole arm into the thing to make it feel like I'm a real bass player.
I like doing everything slowly.
Amen.
Amen.
Smoke weed.
Smoke weed. Smoke weed slowly.
Mikey's fading.
I think the pizza finally hit him.
I wake up at like 4 in the morning.
Yeah. So. Oh, damn.
Yeah. Every day.
I just want to acknowledge the distinct change after the break. Where Mikey was in such a better mood and he was goofing so much more because he finally ate.
Yeah, I needed food.
Got to listen to that tune.
Yeah, that ripped also.
Yeah, baby.
Chris did a good job. Eat some pizza.
Mikey did a great job. The guy fucking slaps the skins.
Yeah,
I smoked a little BJ, like got some hangins. Like,
yeah, dude, that's what life's all about.
Yeah.
Baby
J. That's a sleepable scenario right there. I definitely be like, you know what? It's time to go to bed. Like, put a lid on this and go home and go to bed.
Don't even need any Call of Duty tonight. Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. I said for y'all. Okay. That's for y'all. Daddy don't got to wake up for nothing tomorrow, so he's got... I got my other job / Call of Duty.
/ jumping out of the plane 5 million times.
Yeah.
Where are we dropping, boys? screaming out.
Speaking of dropping, is there anything that you want to drop for the listener for them to check out?
I guess like you can go check out my band. It's called Mannequin Pussy. We have an EP out called Perfect. That's on Epitaph and it came out during the pandemic. I'm sorry. I'm really bad at this. you know, if you want to check out my stuff, it's called The City and I. You can find it on SoundCloud or Bandcamp. Or if you want to hear Kids, it's Kids HC. For HC stands for hardcore. KidsHC @.bandcamp.com. Or I think you can find us on Apple Music or Spotify as well. The album's called Sum, which is S-U-H. M. So it'll be very hard to find. Other than that, like, be good to yourself, be good to others. Don't be perfect, just be real, you know?
Oh, that's a good message to end on right there. I like that.
Boom.
You've been listening to the Super Week Super Weekly Supercast. Thank you so much for being here, Bear. It was great to reconnect and spend time with you again.
Oh, man, this was super weekly and super awesome.
Yeah, dude.
Thanks for coming, man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.